First Chronicles chapter number 11. As you may have figured out, we are in the second week of a series on the mighty men of David. It might only be 2 weeks long, but we are in the second week. And we trust we go a little farther than that. But I'd like for you to look with me. Chapter number 11, First Chronicles, verse number 20 and 21. Verse 20 and 21. It says, "And Abishai, the brother of Joab, he was chief of the three, for lifting up his spear against 300, he slew them, and had a name among the three. Of the three, he was more honorable than the two, for he was their captain. Howbeit, he attained not to the first three." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight that we have the privilege to open your word. I pray, O God, as we go through its many pages and different verses, that you might speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, you have said there's power in preaching. I've never understood that, but God, you've proven that. And I pray tonight that you would empower, that you might bless, and that you would just do a work in each of our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. I would like tonight to speak about the topic of courage as we look at this man of Abishai. Courage is not freedom from fear, but fear rightfully placed in the right spot. We are to fear God. Is that not true? We are not to fear man. Matter of fact, the Bible says that will bring a snare to us. The fear of God is that which will motivate us to action. While all other fears don't motivate, they debilitate. They seem to place us in a position of fret and worry. They end up destroying us. God has not given us the spirit of that kind of fear. And yet, we do have those kinds of fears. Courage, however, is standing our ground in the face of those fears. I have talked to military men who they had particular operations that they were on, and they were scared to death, and yet they were courageous. I read an article, I think yesterday, day before, in the Reader's Digest. And for the very first time in my life, I understood my uncle. I had an Uncle Gene. He was a big man. He had fought in World War II. He had been either at one point a sniper or one who hunted snipers. And he had been in some horrendous battles in World War II. As most of those men, and if you had any experience, they very seldom would talk about their experiences from that time. Later wars, some have opened up a little more, but those men from World War II would not talk. I remember one time, only one time, the families together, and I have three uncles who fought in World War II, and all of them are dead now, they're gone. But I remember one time we were, the family was all together, and those three guys started talking about some of their war experiences. Not very much, but just a little bit. I was a young boy at the time. I was I don't know, maybe 10, 11, 12 years of age. But I remember listening to them talk and a few of the experiences they had. I remember also that my Uncle Gene would sometimes go into horrendous fits of anger. I mean, rage would come across him at the drop of a pin. It just seemed to take very little to do it. My cousin told me at one time, she says, "I hated my dad for some years because of the rage that he went through." I read that article yesterday, and a man was talking about his daddy and this very same thing. He found out that there's actually a medical condition that takes place when you have heard so many bombs take place that actually does some damage to the brain that puts a man into those kinds of positions. My uncle would feel horrible afterwards. This man writing the article said my dad would feel horrible afterwards. And he said in later years, we were able to have a tremendous friendship. But he said, I remember some of those rages. We'll never know what some of our soldier boys went through that we might have our freedoms. All we can say is thank God for them. But they stood with courage. Were they scared in those foxholes? Were they scared when the bombs were blasting? Were they scared when the bullets were flying? If they were like you and me, yes. But courage is standing in the face of those fears. Realizing that, yes, there are things that can happen, but I've got a job to do. I'm going to stick at it. It's interesting that God says to Joshua these words. In chapter number 1, verse 9, He says, "Haven't I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." He says, be courageous. Be courageous. Face those fears and stand nonetheless. Did you know that courage is not necessarily a feeling? Matter of fact, I'm not sure that it's a feeling at all. Matter of fact, as I look in the book of Joshua, it's a command. And you and I are to stand courageous. Without fear, this command would probably not be necessary. I mean, just stop and think about it. I mean, does a Rottweiler really need a lot of courage against a Chihuahua? I mean, seriously. Does he? No, I don't think so. Does a lion need a lot of courage against a mouse? No, I don't think so. And yet when there are real battles and there are things that are much larger than you and I, yes, there's going to be fear, but God says, I want you to be courageous. Here we find, after the three mightiest men, is this man by the name of Abishai. He's a nephew to David. He's the son of David's sister, Zeruiah. She had three sons. One of them was Joab. One of them was Abishai. And the other one was Azahel. Now, those three names probably ring a little bit true in your mind. Joab had a fierce loyalty to David. He was one of David's generals. He was a mighty warrior. But there's something interesting about Joab. Do you know in this page of the mighties that it speaks of and these courageous men, Joab is not listed? He is not listed among those 30, 33 mighty men. He's not there. And yet he is, in our minds, perhaps very mighty. Perhaps it's because of his selfish nature. Perhaps it was because he was willing far too many times to take matters into his own hands rather than to follow the commands of his leader, David. I find on two occasions he killed a man that David was very express that he not do so. And yet we find that he took matters into his own hands. Azahel was another brother, and he was killed in his youth. We find that Azahel was following after and seeking to run down Abner. You remember the story that when David was coming into power and Saul had died and the forces of Saul, they're now being led by Abner and by Saul's son and the nation's still divided and there's a great battle. And the troops of David outmaneuver and outbattle and they win that battle and Abner takes off. Azahel follows after him. Azahel is fleet of foot. He's a man that can run fast and he's going after him. Abner says, listen, turn back, turn back. But he does not do so. We find it as they're running that Abner takes his spear and sticks it in the ground and Azahel runs right into it and goes through his body and he is killed at a very young age. And then we find Abishai. He's mentioned several times, and one of the things we always find as we find his name, he is favorably mentioned by David. I believe he represents courage. Did you notice what it said in verse 20? He was chief of the three. I believe it's referring to the brothers. For lifting up his spear against 300, he what? Slew them. There's not a lot of detail there, is there? There's not a whole lot about the battle. We don't know much other than he took a spear. That was his weapon of choice. And he slew 300 men. Now, I would have trouble just beating up one guy. Especially at this age. Just and especially with a spear. I would have a problem. But he stood up against 300 at one time, and we find that he slew them. I'm simply amazed at that. And so we find here's a man that I believe represents courage. In the New Testament, we find that there are two words that are given to us for fear. One of those words is good, refers to our motivation to do right. It's a fear of God. It's a fear of temptation. It's a fear of our own weakness. The other is bad, and it's that which weakens us to worry. We all have fears. And I'm sure that Abishai had fears, but he had courage to stand and to serve God and to serve David anyway. He lifted up his spear against these 300 and slew them. It was his courage and his absolute loyalty that entitled him to the more honorable of the three. As we find there in verse number 21, he was more honorable than the other two, for he was their captain. So we look at this man, and we see a tremendous man of courage. I look at him, and I'm going to go through some of his life and a few things that we find in the Word of God. If you turn back with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 26. 1 Samuel and chapter number 26. As you might recall, when you study 1 and 2 Samuel, 1, 2 Kings, 1, 2 Chronicles, they are dealing with much of the same subject matter. And it's a time of the kings and a time right after the prophets, after the judges, and here we're not the prophets, but after the judges, and a time from Saul on through, all these kings and this period of time until they're taken into captivity. I want us to notice in chapter number 26 of 1 Samuel what it has to say to us. And let's notice here, we're going to start in verse number 1. It says, "And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah." Now let's understand here, here's a time Saul is still in power. David is being hunted, saying, "Doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jezemon?" Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. This is Saul's special forces. This is his elite fighting group. Here are 3,000 men that he's now taking with him. He's hunting down David. It says in verse 3, "And Saul pitched in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jezemon, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David, therefore, sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host. And Saul laid in the trench, and the people pitched round about him." You get the scene in your mind? He's evidently on a hillside looking down, seeing all this camp, and seeing Saul right in the middle of all these men, these elite fighting forces. Now notice verse 6. "Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to" who? "Abishai, the son of Zariah." By the way, when we're going up in the rapture, you'll know that my pronunciation's right. I have no idea. All right. It might be Abishai. Who knows? I just happen to like Abishai. And it says, "The brother to Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp?" He's got these two guys with him. He says, "Which one of you guys are going to go with me?" And Abishai said, "I'll go down with you." Oh my goodness. Would you do that? There's 3,000 men. I'll go. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, "Why in the world are they talking? God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him." I don't care if there's 3,000 men sitting here. "Let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once. And I will not smite him the second time." He says, "Just let me have it. I'll take care of it. Take one whack. I won't need a second turn." And David said to Abishai, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David said furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him on, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed, but I pray thee, take now thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. I look at this, and I look at a man who volunteered for a very dangerous mission. He was one of the first of the probably 400 that gathered themselves around David in the very beginning. And this small group of people, they grew over a period of time. And here's a man that, of course, he's a relative, he's a nephew, but David learned to trust him. And David took him with him as they go to view and to get a bird's eye view of what they have facing them. And David says, "Who'll go with me?" Abishai says, "I'll go with you." The odds were overwhelming, but the spirit of this young man shines in that time. He wants to make quick work of it, but David is able to squelch his passion. I want you to notice something here. Here's a man who's loyal and knew how to take orders. We find that in the heat of the battle, in that which is very passionate, we find out where there's real loyalty. Young people, I can tell when you mind mom and dad, or if you are a person of obedience, when they tell you to do something you don't want to do, or you don't like to do. And here's a man that we know is courageous, but with that courage, David is able to squelch the passion that's inside of him. This is the difference between he and his brother Joab. This is why Abishai is listed, and I believe it's the reason Joab is not listed. You and I ought to learn from that you and I as Christians, that our leader is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to allow Him, the indwelling Spirit, to direct us rather than our passions, and to obey that leadership. How God wants that kind of courage in our lives. Well, let's look at another place in Scripture. We go to 2 Samuel, and you get to chapter number 2, and we find that there's a fellow that comes on the scene. His name is Abner. What did Abner do to Asahel? He killed him in battle, didn't he? Who's his brothers? Joab and Abishai. In those days, there was provision made in the Word of God that if you had a relative that was killed, you could become the manslayer. You could avenge the death of that person. And it would be perfectly all right. The only way that the person could get away from it is if it was an accidental killing, what we would call manslaughter, and they would flee to a city of refuge. Otherwise, the manslayer, probably a close relative, if he found that individual, he could slay him. What we find next that takes place is that Abishai and Joab, believe it or not, kills Abner. In chapter number 2 and verse number 24 of 2 Samuel, notice what it says. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill of Hemah that lieth before Gaiah by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. They were pursuing him. That was after their brother was killed. Though he has the right of the avenger of blood, according to the Jewish law, when we get to the next chapter, I believe that we find that the motive is a little different for Joab. Go to chapter 3 with me in verse number 25. Abner at this point is now defected from his army. He is now at the point where, hey, I'm not going to follow after Ishbosheth, Saul's son. I see this is the wrong direction to go. He comes to David and says, "I will bring the forces of Israel and we'll all stand united once again." Joab is not there when this takes place. And of course, he hates Abner because he killed his brother. And when he learns of this, he sends word to Abner who had left and calls him back. And when he comes back, we find that Joab kills Abner. And so look here in chapter number 3 and notice with me verse number 25. It says, "Thou knowest Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee and to know thy going out and thy coming in, to know all that thou doest." This is Joab speaking to David. "And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sarah. But David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, 'I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread.'" So Joab and, do you see that? Abishai, his brother, slew Abner because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. Now I ask you a question tonight. Why did David only pronounce judgment upon Joab and not Abishai? Could it be that it is because Joab has a different motive? Could it be because Joab has a desire for rank? He does not want this Abner to come in and to become a general with him. Could that be a possibility? I don't know, but that's what I reckon. Abishai doesn't have this curse. And as we get to verse number 39, I believe it becomes clear why. Notice what says David. He says, "And I am this day weak, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me." Plural. "The Lord shall reward the doer," singular, "of evil according to his wickedness." Interesting. Perhaps it's because of the motive behind it all and what David sees there. But Abishai is clear of that curse by David. We find a little later that Joab and Abishai are both given two different wings of an army. They're in a great battle. And we find in 2 Samuel chapter number 10 they are saying to each other, "Listen, we're going to play our men, we're going to use them, and we're going to work together, and we're going to be able somehow, through God's help, to win this battle." And they do. And so Abishai had been promoted to a position of general. We find another occasion, if you'll turn with me, to 2 Samuel chapter number 16. 2 Samuel chapter number 16. There's a reason for these things. There's just a very simple conclusion I'd like for us to draw from all this. Chapter number 16, and notice with me verse number 5. David is perhaps at the lowest part of his entire life. His son has risen up against him and is seeking to take over his kingship. And he is in a position now whereby he has to flee the city of Jerusalem. As he leaves the city, there's a man that is standing on the hillside, and he begins to throw dust at him. And let's notice the story. Chapter number 16, and notice with me verse number 5. "And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, 'Come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial.'" It basically means the word Belial is talking about one who's really of the devil, really. "And it says, 'The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom in the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief because thou art a bloody man.'" Here's a man that's very bitter to David because Saul, he thinks, has been overthrown by David, which was not true. But let's notice verse number 9. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. I don't know why I'm attracted to this guy. There's times in the flesh I just like to... Yeah. And don't sit there all pious because you're the same way. But notice, and the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? He offers to slay Shimei. At the lowest point of his life, Abishai says, I'll take care of this guy for you. And once again, his zeal must be checked by David. And what does he do? Unlike his brother, he heeds his commander. He heeds his commander. Later we find that Abishai is helpful in putting down the revolt of Absalom. Oh, did we forget to say? Absalom is killed, but by who? Not Abishai, but his brother Joab. Direct opposition of the orders of King David. You say, why did David give that kind of command? You know, often in our lives we don't understand why commanders do what they do. We don't understand because we don't see the picture as they see it. We don't understand it for a number of different reasons. I've been there on many occasions. But when we have leadership, what are we to do? Follow it. And that's what Abishai did. And he followed the commands of David as he takes care of the situations with Absalom and later with another called Sheba. Let me take you to 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21. The last time we find him mentioned, and perhaps the time that shows his courage more than any other time. In chapter number 21, verse 15, it says, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down, his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. He's old. David was the kind of man, hey, my army's going into battle, I'm going to go with them. I've always done it, I'm going to do it again. And off he goes with them. But notice what happens. He waxes faint. And, well, you try to pronounce that one. Ishbibenob, last time I'll say it, which was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. Here's his dad's killer. Here's another giant. And he says, here's David. I will get my vengeance. And David has waxed faint. Story's not over, but verse number 17, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him. Big word simply means he helped him. And smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, and thou quench not the light of Israel. On this occasion, he saves his commander-in-chief David from Goliath's son and what was going to be sure death for him. I believe there's a lesson to learn from all of this. There are fears, there are things that we're going to face. There are battles that we're going to have to enter into. You and I are going to face many, many troubled times in our life. God has never said to us that it would be easy. God has never given to us as His people the easy road. For some reason, we seem to think that we ought to have that. But God allows us to go through some sometimes horrendous battles. All you got to do is pick up a book that was written many years ago called Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you'll find out that there have been many thousands of people who have lost their lives for the cause of Christ. So you and I, we stand here with the battles that we must have. And though we have fears about those, though we look at those things and we wonder how in the world we're going to get through it, and yet we must have the courage to face whatever it is that God brings our way. But it must be under the control of the Spirit of God. As we find Abishai with his courage, he was under the control of his commander. There are times that the Spirit of God is going to lead us in directions that we don't understand. We may be even wanting to argue with God a little bit. But really, our job is to surrender our courage unto Him. Let Him take us through. We don't know the battles. We don't understand the things that are there. But we must stand nonetheless. Be courageous. Why? God's there with us. Sometimes it doesn't seem like God's there. You ever been like that, Mindy? Oh, yeah. We look and we go, God, where are you? You said you'd do this and I don't see it. Oh, don't worry, it will. And God will take us through those things. We're to what? Be courageous. Surrender it to Him. Let Him do the leading. Amen? Let Him use those who are in leadership in our lives to do the leading. Amen? I mean, that's very simple. Young folks, you're under the tutelage of mom and dad. You say, well, my mom and dad, listen, I could have said this. They're old. They don't understand the ways of young people. Listen, young person, if you're thinking that, can I tell you something just very directly? You're stupid. I don't know how else to say it. If you think they don't understand, the problem is you don't understand. And your job is to what? Follow them. I don't care if you're 6 or 16. And by the way, if you're still in the house and you're 25, mom's still mom and dad's still dad. And if you're out of the house and you walk in the house, mom's still mom and dad's still dad. That never goes away. It did not cease for me until I put them in the grave. Just the way it is. But that's not only there, but it's all of those that God puts over us. And how we ought to thank God for that in our lives. I look at this and I say, be courageous. The battles are there. Here's a man stood against 300, slew them all at one time. He had courage. But with courage, they allowed to be controlled by the commander and not get out of line. His brother would have been, I believe, in this list if he could have been controlled by David. There's a lot of Christians. I mean, they're courageous. They won't allow God to control them. They won't allow their leaders to control them. And they run off on their own. And you know what happened to Joab? He was finally slain by King Solomon under David's direction. But not so with Abishai. He was the captain. He was a mighty man.